This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station. WSMI, we serve Mid-Illinois. Hi, this is Terry Toad, WSMI Program and Sports Director. Tally Broadcasting is celebrating 60 years of service to Mid-Illinois by WSMI AM 1540 and 50 years of service to Mid-Illinois by WSMI FM 106. And it's time now for a special interview featuring former WSMI staff members and others associated with the broadcasting industry.
On WSMI Radio, celebrating 60 years of service to Mid-Illinois, I'm Randy Prangy. Joining us, a former WSMI farm director, Kevin Olson. Kevin, welcome back to WSMI Radio.
Randy, nice to be here.
How long did you work here, and when did you start?
Actually, I started October 19th of 1987. I think that was the day they called Black Monday. It was a very bad day for the stock market.
Oh, okay.
But black
for a different reason.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I had moved down from Wisconsin 2 days prior and started out on that day and had a lot of fun.
How did you become interested in radio?
Well, actually, it goes back. My sister got her degree in radio, and she was working at a radio station near my hometown in Wisconsin. This was in Black River Falls, Wisconsin, and she said they needed some part-time help. And I thought, well, that sounded fun. So after about a year of training, when I was 16, I went on the air. When I was 16, took my FCC test, got my third class license back at that time, and went on the air when I was junior in high school.
Now, was this at a commercial radio station?
Yeah, this was a commercial radio station, WWIS, in Black River Falls, Wisconsin, an AM station. And actually, it was above a movie theater in this town. And it was a great job for a high school kid.
Now, what were your hours?
I would work. I had a work-type situation worked out with school, so I could leave school at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then I'd go to the radio station, which was a half hour away from school, and start at 3 and take it to sundown sign off. Well, you know, that's really only an hour and a half shift during the shortest days out of the year, but during the longer days you'd get a longer shift, and then during the summertime it was wide open. And when I was 16, 17, 18 years old, I was doing baseball games on the radio and just having
play-by-play?
Play-by-play. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Familiarized myself with all the equipment of doing that type of job, and really had a leg up when I went to Brown Institute of Broadcasting in Minneapolis.
How did you find your way down here?
Well, that's interesting. I worked a few different places. After getting out of Brown Institute in Minneapolis, while I was at Brown, I worked in New Richmond, Wisconsin, right across the river, for a sister station of the station I'd started at when I was in high school. And then upon graduating from Brown Institute, I hooked up with a radio station in Wolf Point, Montana, KVCK. And they had an AM and an FM side. And the neat thing about working out there is they were very happy to get us upper Midwesterners out there to work. And so a lot of us hit the road from Brown Institute and went right out there. It was a great place to hit the ground and get some great radio experience doing just about anything you wanted.
Back to that Brown Institute, explain about that a little bit. What type of a institution is that?
Brown Institute of Broadcasting, now called Brown College in Minneapolis, St. Paul area, and it was a two-year program. Specializing in radio, TV, advertising. So along with the radio, you got in-studio TV training. There's a lot of people came out of Brown and did very well for themselves. And Brown Institute was a place that my sister went, and my brother went there for audio technology. So three Olsons went through Brown Institute.
How'd you find your way down here once again?
Well, after a short stint in Montana where I went, actually I was looking to be a farm broadcaster right out of Brown Institute, and the closest they could come through their placement department was being a newscaster at KVCK in Wolf Point, Montana. They said, well, you come out here, you can do a little farm too. And so I went out there, and it was a nice mix of hard news and farm. And then as staff issues came up, I found myself I was doing a 4-hour board shift every day too. So I was doing all that, and it turned into a little bit more than I wanted to get a little more focused at the time. And after 3 foot of snow in the first week of October of 1985. I decided that maybe the mild winters in Wisconsin were a little more to my liking, and so I went back to Wisconsin late '85 and did a sign-on shift at WHTL in Whitehall, Wisconsin.
What time would you have to sign on?
We would sign on at 5 a.m. So I would be out at the station probably about 4 a.m.
So you got to sleep in.
I got to sleep in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was nice. Compared to being raised on a dairy farm and milking cows, you know, this was not too bad a deal.
And you're out of the cold?
Well, somewhat. This Whitehall, Wisconsin, the radio station was located in a low area. And sometimes I'd walk to work in the morning if there was too much snow. One time I walked out, and it was about 3/4 of a mile walk, not too bad. And I came out there, and it was actually 42 degrees below zero.
Ooh.
That was the coldest I had ever read a thermometer to be. That was a winter of 85, 86, which still is known up there as one of the heaviest, one of the coldest with heaviest snowfalls of any winter recorded. Part of my job, too, since I was the young one on the staff, was to go up on the roof and clean the snow off so the roof wouldn't collapse. So after I got off the air, I'd go up on the roof and clean the snow off. But and for the first hour, of course, that's dairy country up there.
Right.
And polka music is very popular up there. And you'd play 1 hour's of polka, 1 hour of polka in the morning. And people just loved it. They always said the cows milk better with polka music.
Why is that?
Going in the back. I don't know. I know I didn't perform better playing polka music. And I did change the format one morning. I just played the straight country. And
I bet you heard about it.
I heard about that.
Yeah, I can just imagine.
I heard about that. So then found an opportunity to go to a bigger radio station in Sparta, Wisconsin. So took that in 1986. And this is not... this is typical of the travels of a young radio announcer. You know, don't want to set down roots too long in one place for fear of having to stay there. And
God forbid.
So I moved down to Sparta, Wisconsin. And that's 100,000 watt FM, WCOW. And WCOW is great call letters for in the heart of dairy country.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, that was the radio station that some years earlier, Orion Samuelson had started out at. He was the renowned farm broadcaster.
Oh, yeah. And he's still working.
Yeah, still working. And so WCOW is a great opportunity to be a copywriter. I was a copywriter, wrote radio ads all day, in addition to doing a little bit of news. And that was... enjoyed that, and I transitioned into music director after a while, and enjoyed that. And then one day I was sitting there reading. Part of my job was reporting our top 40 chart to the Gavin Report every week.
Mm-hmm.
The Gavin Report, I don't think that's published anymore. That was a radio trade magazine. And I was going through the ads in the back of the Gavin Report, and WSMI in Litchfield, Illinois was looking for a farm director. And I thought, that is neat. And I was talking to my parents about it, and my mother, I remember her commenting, she said, "That's the heart of the Corn Belt. You need to go there if you want to be a farm broadcaster." I thought, it sounds pretty cool to me, too. And so I came down here on a Saturday prior to moving down here, and I love the place. Met you that day.
Really?
Yeah.
And you came anyway.
Yeah. You know... met all the good people, and saw the nice town of Litchfield, and I thought this sounds like a nice adventure for a 21-year-old come down to Litchfield.
And here you are.
Here I am. And it was kind of interesting. I did do I remember putting together an audition tape for the job in my brother's apartment. and sending it down here. And of course, once I met Hayward, that's, I tell you what, talk about a classic individual who has the community's interests at heart, you know, and a good Christian man.
Yes.
And that really sold me, and I was just thrilled when I was offered the opportunity.
Now, you were hired in as the farm director. Okay, now, say you've been here for a year or two. What's a typical day in the farm broadcaster?
Well, for me at that time, my goal always when I was on the radio was to be my alarm clock go off 2 hours before I had to go on the air, because there's mental and vocal preparation in my mind. So that'd be 4 o'clock. I would get up at 4 o'clock. And I've always, being raised on a farm, my mother always made sure no one left the house in the morning without a big breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Big breakfast. And so I still do that to this day. And so I would have to have my breakfast, and then I'd come down to WSMI, and back in those days, Tom Allman was our morning fella, and of course then you the news director would be in shortly after. And back then we'd have to rip the wire from the night before, which meant that the news machine, the AP machine, would be spitting out all the news all night long, and then I'd have to grab the farm stuff and rip that off in addition to anything I'd prepared the day before.
Because, you know, at that time, like your markets that uh-huh. you would use, we would get them off the wire, and they did not have anywhere close to the immediacy that we have now.
Oh, no. At the end of every day, the overnight, all the market summaries, everything would print out, and you would read that. There was no, you know, live computer screen in front of you spewing out that information. But most of the preparation was done the day before. You know, this is the age before, of course, internet. Fax, we didn't have a fax machine then, so you didn't have that. So you made a lot of phone calls, tried to keep your ear to the ground, what was going on. And as time went on, you know, get to know a lot of people. And it really made the job enjoyable.
Well, that's what really makes this job enjoyable, is the people you meet.
Oh, yeah.
And not necessarily those you work with.
Exactly. And coming from a small community in Wisconsin, like I did, to another rural community, I felt like very much at home.
And then, you know, after you left here, you went to work for Prairie Farms.
Right.
Now, how did that come about?
Well, growing up on a dairy farm, you know, my parents always, they instilled a strong work ethic. And my dad was always very active in trying to gain the best market for his milk, and to try to do things to help the next generation of folks in agriculture in our home area. And he made it clear that in addition to being on the farm, ag business needs good people working in those areas as well. And I thought, well, I know dairy from the cow end. And I think I thought, well, I could probably help Prairie Farms. And after getting my ag business degree, I thought that's a great fit, Prairie Farms. They gave me an opportunity. It's been almost 20 years ago, and it's been
that long?
Yeah, it was the spring of 1991. When
you've seen a world of changes in the dairy industry after you left here.
Oh yeah, no kidding. And the changes here, it's just astounding when I walk in the doors of WSMI compared to. But yeah, in the dairy industry itself. But you know, we still have good family-owned farms, and the work ethic has never changed. The equipment to get the job done is changing slowly over time. But the fundamentals of dealing with cows and nutrition and all of these things really have not changed that much from the way I was raised with it. And but the business of dairy, the procurement, the sales, the manufacturing and packaging of the product has changed a lot in the 20 years. And every day is a challenge. It really is.
We talked about it just the other night about how the product itself has changed with some of the new offerings that Prairie Farms has come up with.
Well, you have to stay with or ahead of the consumers at all times, and stay in order to keep the demand and your sales dollars up, you have to put on the shelf what that consumer's wanting. And, you know, you think back to not too many years ago, people were buying a lot of their milk in paper cartons, and those have gone mostly to the wayside, except for in schools. People like their convenient plastic containers. Formulations on some of our products have changed to keep up with consumer demand. Different flavors. The packaging. Staying ahead of packaging and consumer perception to catch their eye as they're going through the store is a big, big challenge.
Any memories from your time here at the radio station?
Oh, you know, a lot of good memories, and I'm serious when I say that. There's really not a bad memory. It was just, just to be at that stage in my career and come down with a fresh new opportunity. I know coming in there initially, you don't know anyone, right. But we're all rural people, and it was, other than the fact that there's a big difference in accents when you where I grew up in the Scandinavian, the Polish accent as
the southern drawl we have down here,
you know, and that was somewhat of an adjustment, and I kind of found that interesting. But the people were pretty much the same type of people that I'd worked with and grew up around, good people. It was fun to come out here and kind of become friends with everyone, and both here and outside of work. We could say we were working when really we were having a whole lot of fun.
All this fun and a paycheck too.
Yeah, and they just blended together very, very nicely. One thing we did training under fire not too long after I started here, we had that severe drought of 88, which brought up numerous issues in the agricultural world. And I'm sure a lot of the listeners remember the severity of that and the fact that back then compared to now, the ability of hybrids to adapt themselves to those conditions was not then what it is now. And that was the severity and the heat, the oppressive heat and dryness of that summer is something I'll always remember. And I can't say there was ever a day when I was the farm broadcaster here, I didn't look forward to coming into work 6 days a week, not only because the work was enjoyable, but the people as well. At the same time, I have to say, I left in December of 1989 to pursue other things, but Rita stepped in and has done just a fabulous job. Huge fan of Rita Frazier and the work she does.
She's great to work with.
Oh, she's great to work with.
Yes.
And, it's personally satisfying for me to know that when I left, someone stepped in who people just think the world of like that.
Yes. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us on WSMI Radio.
Hey, Randy, this has been a lot of fun. Thanks a lot.
That's Kevin Olson, former WSMI farm director, as WSMI celebrating 60 years of service to Mid-Illinois. I'm Randy Prangy.
All of our special interviews, which are broadcast on WSMI, are available as podcasts on our website, which is WSMIRadio.com. You can listen to them or download them for free. WSMI AM 1540, celebrating 60 years, and WSMI FM 106.1, celebrating 50 years of service to Mid-Illinois. WSMI, we serve Mid-Illinois. For WSMI, I'm Terry Tote.